This is Music Respawn. I'm Kate Remington with Inan Sir, and it's, oh my gosh, it's just so much fun to have a chance to talk with you again.
Thanks so much, and it's my honor, really, to speak with you again, Kate.
Well, first of all, congratulations on being signed for Sony Masterworks. That's a huge deal, and wow, that must have been a real thrill for you.
And frankly, I wasn't really expecting it. I started working on the album just, I think, about 4 years ago. And it started just like, oh, let's just write a song for, you know, especially for Dragon Age fans who really liked the songs that I wrote for Dragon Age 1 and 2. So like, let's see where it's rolling. And I saw that it's kind of like difficult to do it alone. So I hired a co-producer, Ian Nikas, who is working with me and worked with me on the album because he's handling the mixing and producing and everything. And one song was down, and then it's like, all right, let's write another song and another song. And before we knew it, there are like 13 cues already. and then it's like, all right, what should we do with this? We hired a person who is an A&R, and you know, it's like, I don't know, like, who's going to dig it? But hey, surprise, Sony did. So it was really great news for us and huge deal for all of us here.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, the album itself, it's not out yet, but it's coming out on June 7th, Into the Storm. And you've already released two tracks from it, the title track with Tina Guo and Caroline Campbell. And then just recently, another track, Shalaya, with Audrey Ashburn. And I can totally understand why you'd want to go back and revisit the music that you wrote for Dragon Age Origins and Dragon Age 2, because it's such wonderful music. It must be kind of like rereading a favorite book again.
Well, yes. I mean, well, thank you first. I think that the whole writing songs for me is such a different set of tools and aspects that I'm approaching scores, and it's really refreshing for me. I had a lot of time, you know, fun working with Aubrey and other singers on songs during Dragon Age and since then. So revisiting this kind of different kind of art was really refreshing, and I almost felt I needed just to have something else going on, basically.
Yeah, well, it must be an interesting discipline, because songs, unlike cues that could be kind of open-ended and being able to loop, songs have a beginning and a middle and an end. So it must have been fun to use kind of a different part of your brain for composing.
That's true. So again, when I'm thinking about it, I'm going back to my youth. And when I was 16 and 17, I used to write a lot of songs. And then after I released from the Israeli army, I again wrote quite a lot of songs in Hebrew, of course. And for me, so it wasn't like all that strange. But since then, you know, I took quite a big departure and different route toward, you know, writing for media and sort of like music or scoring music. So coming back to songs again was such a really something special for me. And I was looking forward to do it. I didn't think that the album is going to be even released at some point. I wasn't sure. But just writing these things was a blessing for me.
Yeah, well, I remember when we talked the very first time, I think it was like 3 years ago, you were already working on this idea, this concept of songs from the tavern, I think you called it. And Menelaya was absolutely gorgeous. And so this, it sounds like you've been kind of living with this idea for quite a while.
That's true, but we sort of like vastened, you know, the scope. And we've decided that first to use not one singer, not two singers, but at least like we ended up using six singers.
Wow.
And each one of them is doing one or two songs. Each one of them, I mean, they're amazing talents, and they're so different. So the album has a lot of variety of vocals and sort of like approaches toward these kind of songs that there are, I call them like, you know, with a lack of other expression, we call it dragon songs. You know, because they're a little Celtic, they're a little Irish, they're a little Lord of the Ringish, they're a little traditional. I mean, there are little, you could hear a lot of them, but overall, they're very much in the realm, living in the realm of Tolkienian world, Dragon Age world, and fantasy world. So this is the general, I guess, application, but we took quite a big departures from each one to another one. There are some songs in English, some songs actually in real Gaelic, and some songs in what we call Zurich, which is the language that, you know, I'm known to create with my singers. And there are many instrumentals also that I've inserted. In the beginning, I thought that, oh, it's going to be only songs. But then we decided to also do like instrumentals, like, you know, the first song that was released, Into the Storm, is an instrumental. Thank you.
Yeah, and I can definitely hear the Celtic influence with that one, with Tina Guo and Caroline Campbell. And so what I'm wondering is, you rounded up all these fantastic artists. Did you write each one of these songs for their specific gifts, their incredible vocal gifts?
Yes, I could definitely, at least the songs that I wrote for Aubrey, at least the songs that I wrote for Tina and Caroline, definitely imagined them. Songs from Mimi Page, yes. Song for Early Brighton, yes. But then there were other songs, and there are some singers that really surprised me, like Ariel, for example. She's starting really to grow now, and she's starting for big artists. And she sang two songs, and her voice is very different than the rest. And I wrote these songs not even imagining that she will sing it, but she just like jumped into it. Same thing with Mayclair LaPlante, who I met during a convention, and she said to me that she knows Gaelic and everything. And then we wrote sort of like an instrumental, but then I told Ian, how about we'll try to make a melody and, you know, and see if May could write a like Gaelic lyrics from it. And that what happened. So we ended up with a Gaelic song. I did write a specific song for Lisbeth Scott. I think that this song really was almost tailor-made for her, and it's in English, and she does an amazing job. I mean, Lisbeth is just like a great artist. So yes, I think that there's just a lot of different kind of artists. I think that the theme is pretty focused, but the way we approach this theme from different angles is what makes this album, I think, interesting.
Well, what's so cool about albums, especially the ones where a lot of care has been taken to organize the tracks in a really specific order, there's kind of like a story arc to the album. And so does this album, Into the Storm, kind of have a story arc as well?
More than a story, I think that it sort of like portray a world, and it's portraying sort of like an imaginative world that, you know, that we're creating. And in this world, you know, it is very, very much fantasy driven. So each song carries its own story, but they're all connected within this sort of like a person who gets basically into the storm, only him or herself, and they are ready to take on a challenge, and it's almost like an epic, bigger than life challenge, and all the struggle that are basically coming up with. So there's a lot of softer tones for, you know, more of love and I said like and friendship themes there, but there's also a lot of more epic and, you know, sort of like almost happy sounding to it, and there's also some sadness to it. So just a lot of, you know, angles.
Yeah, it covers a lot of ground. It sounds like kind of like if you were in a tavern in this amazing fictional world, you know, the weary adventurer coming back to a little bit of civilization. And that's exactly what you would hear, because everybody, you know, brings their own tales of adventure.
Exactly.
Or love.
I would say exactly. If you're sitting in a tavern and you're hearing stories, and this woman is telling the story about her lover, that he's a brave soldier and he departed for, you know, overseas for a war, and she doesn't know if he's going to come back, and she's waiting every day in the window. So this is one story. The other story of this person, and I'm really describing the song, like, you know, who she is basically starting to lose herself, and she feels more and more, you know, disconnected with all her hope and dreams, and she ends up basically dancing alone. And you could almost see her circling alone in this tavern and totally disconnected from the rest of the stuff. And then there is this story of this knight who came back from the battle, and he's telling all his stories of bravery and losses. And each track basically is covering. So I do really think that what you said is really great. Mainly, you're sitting in a tavern and you're listening to stories, and these stories becoming songs.
Tell me a little bit about your Zurich language and how you convey that in a language that, like, nobody knows.
I think it's really a great device because it allows the listener to almost come up with his or her own interpretation of the song. Not only that, they could hear the song day after day, and depend on their mood of the day, they could even understand it in a different way. So it tells a story, and you could listen to the lyrics and you can't understand them, but you certainly can connect to them on an emotional level. And this happened during Dragon Age. And it's so cool because if you live in an imaginary, world in a faraway fantasy land, you would expect the characters to speak in a different language. And it helps basically to set the scene for it.
Yeah, I bet. So is it based on anything we know, like
No,
Icelandic or?
actually no. And the cool thing about it is many times when we're writing, and I always collaborate with my singers when we're writing these lyrics, it's so cool because usually I have the melody before, so there are some syllables or words that are working great with a melody. So you don't really need to worry about meaning or anything. You're just coming up with lyrics and words that are sort of like going so smoothly with the melodic content. This way, the songs are just flowing, and you could create hooks, and you could create all these very memorable syllables that people could repeat, but they don't know what they are. But from a technical point of view, actually, it's really, really cool because this language is almost made to be sang and to be sang in this specific melodical content.
That is so cool because there are some languages that work better for singing than others, like Italian is perfect and French works, but English and German are a little bit clunkier. So,
Yeah,
yeah.
and again, so there are so many advantages to come up with own language. You don't need to worry about anybody really sort of like an understanding anything or not understanding anything. It seems like everybody could get connected to it on an emotional level, and everybody could have their own interpretation of the lyrics, based also on the song itself and what they think the story the songs is carry with it. So yes, it's kind of cool.
It's really neat. And what's also cool is there are a lot of clues to what the story is about with your orchestration, like with a battle song when the brass comes in and that kind of thing. So that must be a really interesting way of creating music that, references ideas and yet it's basically just still purely instrumental too.
Well, don't forget that I am dedicating this specific album to gamers and to music lovers and to people who love specifically the type of games that are the fantasy games. So this is the premise I'm coming from. So I will start from what these fans are not, used to hear when they are immersing themselves into a fantasy game. This is how I started. So they will feel almost at home, and they don't need to play any game. All they have to do is just sit back and listen. But still, if they are so immersed in this fantasy world, they could just imagine it, and they could have all this fun without stressing. So,
And not worrying about killing that one
exactly.
big dragon boss.
Exactly.
Well, in addition to all of these incredible soloists, you also worked with the City of Prague Philharmonic. And were you able to be at the recording sessions, or did
No,
you have to do that?
unfortunately, no. I mean, it's always complicated to travel all the way. Plus, sometimes it's almost better to have their own conductor do it. So, unfortunately, this time I was not able to travel there, but I know them very well because I conducted there before and I was there before. So the connection was there and I was able to convey exactly what I want over Source Connect and Skype. And it was a very, very, always a pleasant experience working with these musicians because not only that they're really good, they're bringing some different sound than the sound that we are using here in the United States. A European sound is very, very different, and it helps and supports the sort of like the spirit of the album more than I thought, actually.
Yeah, they do have a very distinctive sound. I've heard a number of their recordings, and much different than a pickup orchestra from the U.S. And yeah, they're
even U.K. They're just basically they're different, you know.
Yeah.
And it's almost like this made up language, you know. It's just different. You hear the music, you know that what you hear is kind of familiar, but on the other hand, it just sounds a little different, and that's the whole thing about it.
Yeah, well, we got a taste of the album with that incredible music video with Tina and Caroline as the Black Queen and the White Queen on the castle walls, and a lot of atmosphere there. How involved were you with that music video?
Oh, I was extremely involved. It's starting for, you know, actually working and recording both Tina and Caroline here in my studio. But then we found a great location. It's actually somewhere in Riverside. And it's just a big hill. It's almost a mountain, and it's deserted, but it has something that looks like a castle on top. There's no way to actually drive up there, so we had to walk at 4 a.m. in the morning in February or January. It was really cold. And we walked all the way up there with all the equipment and everything. And it was quite an adventure for all of us. they are amazing. Both Tina and Caroline, they're troopers. And, you know, they were shining. And we basically planned that we will shoot first in the dawn before the sun takes off. And when the sun eventually emerges, it almost part of the song, and that was the planning, and it worked quite well.
Oh, it's just absolutely gorgeous, and just all the way through, all these shots of the two of them kind of juxtaposed, and then when they finally meet on the bridge, it's really powerful. It's very, very cool.
Thank you. The editor, obviously, you know, I of course had a lot of comments about editing and everything, but in the end of the day, they did sort of like the story behind it. So they did really amazing job.
Yeah, they really did. You know, one of the things that I talked with a few composers about at GDC this year was collaborating with studios and how to be efficient and how to get everybody on the same page and have the same goals. And I'm wondering what was different or special about this project as opposed to some of your other game score projects like Fallout 76 or Eagle Flight.
Well, the beauty, but also the complicated part of this is Sony basically told me, you just do you. And we are ready to accept whatever your choices are. And I said, great. But then I said, uh-oh. So, because they were very anal about not getting in the way in a creative process at all. And it was a blessing, but it was also a curse, because then if you don't get sort of like feedback, everything is acceptable, then you become even more critical on the word. And it's like, well, you know, if they're letting me do me, then I have to really find this path that it will be as best as I can do. So it's quite challenging, even, I would say. So working with Sony was a very, very different experience. They are extremely supportive, but on the other hand, they are giving me, you know, just like open-ended carte blanche, let's put it this way. And so, yes.
Wow. Yeah, that must have been an interesting experience, because I know that you're so good at delivering whatever it is the studio asks you to do with, you know, that extra indefinable Enonzer special quality. And so, but to have to come up with your own voice, yeah, must have been an interesting challenge.
It is. And again, I was lucky that I had people around me, and all the people that I collaborated with definitely voices their, you know, opinions. So I'm not alone. Ian is with me all the time when we're, you know, doing this, and he has a lot of ideas. And each singer had her own ideas that we inserted inside. So no, I mean, definitely it was a collaborative effort, and it was teamwork more than anything else.
Yeah, it sounds like the whole thing was just such a great experience for everybody. And did you set yourself a deadline? Because I know a lot of times having a deadline is a great inspiration.
Yeah, well, no. No, really. I mean, there was no deadline whatsoever. I mean, when we finally, last year, toward the end of the year, have said, all right, enough is enough. It's good. Let's just roll and try to find somebody to, you know, work with us on this and a label. This was sort of the deadline that was created when we've decided that it's good enough. Let's put it this way. Because you could always do better.
Sure. Yeah, of course. I mean, you could hang on to it and tinker with it for, you know, another year.
Exactly. So there was like one point that I said, all right, I think this is acceptable. And that was the best we could get.
Well, it's been really interesting to get these tracks just one at a time. But again, the whole thing comes out on June 7th and you can pre-order it now. And I know, Enon, you just never stop moving. And it's always wonderful to have a chance to catch up. And I can't wait to hear all of Into the Storm. And so thank you so much for your time.
Thanks again, Kate, for everything. And thank you for, again, including me in your show. And I cannot wait to share all the album. And there are some other things that are following.